What I sensed with today really was a confirmation for what I started to sense last night as I was praying about today, and what, Lord, what do you want me to share? What do you want us to hear? And I heard the Holy Spirit said, I want you to remind my people, remind the people that this is a year of aggressive kingdom advancement. This is the year of aggressive kingdom advancement. And one of the things that I believe has happened for those here, and hopefully for many of you that may be watching by way of live stream, I don't know about you, but I felt a refreshing and a strength come on. I felt it during the intercession. I felt it from the team, from the moment the team came out and we began to sing. And team, I want to thank you. Edie, you are so funny. But you are so anointed, and I want you to know that, because you helped us as well this morning. I asked Edie, I said, do we need to bring out some chairs? She said, I'm all right. No, she said, I'm all right. She didn't say, I'm all right. She said, I'm all right. And he came out here and hit it. And there's something about that synergism. See, if you weren't here at the beginning, I mean, we launched into it, and it was like there, not working our way up, not working our way in. And I love that about the people of God who come with the intentionality of finding him in a new way. But when that shift happened, where we weren't really singing, but playing, we began to intercede, and the banners and flags were going, and you have to know all of that plays a part, because we're moving things in the spirit. We're moving things in the atmosphere. And don't think for one moment, saints, that we don't need to come in here and make sure the atmosphere is clear again. Doesn't take long. That's why we come in for intercession. Again, Pastor Bell, thank you. If you're looking for prophetic ministry, you need to come early, because Pastor Val will be praying and all of a sudden start calling people up and giving them words. And she told David, now you're going to fall out in a minute, but God's going to do something while you on the floor. So I guess he's going to fall out whether he wanted to or not. She just prophesied it. You're going down. But that's the confidence of the gift. See, sometimes, you know, we don't exercise the gift in the level of authority that we need to. So last night I felt Holy Spirit said, I want you to take this time and remind them what this year is about for our house. Aggressive kingdom advancement. Say that. Aggressive kingdom advancement. Say it. Aggressive kingdom advancement. This is your year to press into, press through whatever is opposing you, and press into the greater manifestation, the greater reality of God's kingdom for you, first and foremost, and then for us as a house. So everything in me right now is with that push in mind. In Matthew 11 and verse 12, it says this, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. Someone early on was saying, you know, well, is aggressive a word we really want to use? Absolutely. Is aggressive really what Jesus? Absolutely. When it came to those devils and demons, Jesus was aggressive in love. But he walked in that place with the Father. He never had to raise his voice. He said, you know who I am. Get out of here. Aggressive kingdom advancement. And then Jesus says in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That word aggressive, marked by combative readiness, marked by intrusive energy and self-assertiveness, marked by driving forceful energy, strong or emphatic in effect or intent, growing, developing, or spreading rapidly. I want to remind us that if we are not going to be aggressive, then we need to get out of the way, because we're going to be ran over by the current cultures and systems that are in place. We must be aggressive in the things of God. We must be aggressive. You must be aggressive in your pursuit of purpose and destiny, or you will never completely walk it out. Going back to what I had on the screen, my destiny is not negotiable. My destiny is not negotiable. Aggressive kingdom advancement is an unwavering, uncompromising attitude and mindset that is exhibited by one's unrelenting pursuit of a goal or objective with fierce determination and resolve that even in the face of great opposition, there is only one outcome, and that's victory. Hear me when I say to us, this must be our mindset. It has to be so deep inside of us that when we get up in the morning, we're reminded of it. When we lay down at night, we're reminded of it. Unwavering, uncompromising attitude. A mindset that exhibits an unrelenting pursuit of goal or objective with fierce determination and resolve that even in the face of no matter what's going on, there's only one outcome. That's victory. That's victory. That's victory. Some years ago, we did the recording, I Still Win. Doesn't matter what it looks like, I still win. Doesn't matter what I feel like, I still win. Doesn't matter what my finances look like, I still win. Doesn't matter what I'm dealing with physically, I still win. Doesn't matter what I'm dealing with relationally, I still win. Doesn't matter, doesn't matter, doesn't matter, doesn't matter. I still win. I still win. At the end of the day, I still win. Is there biblical precedence for this aggression, this aggressive pursuit? Absolutely. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he began to speak with Moses, he was tasked with talking to the people and helping them to recognize exactly what it was going to take. And so we see with Moses, we see with Joshua, that in both instances, God makes it clear, we're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight. But I got you. You've already won. You've already won. As a matter of fact, there in Exodus 23, verse 20, it says, behold, I am going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and bring you into the place which I have prepared. I need you to think about that for a moment. If he was telling them back then, do you believe that angels are on assignment right now to see that you and I arrive in the place that he has intended? It says, be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious towards him, for he will not pardon your transgression. Since my name is in him, it says, but if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. This is God talking. He says, I will be an enemy to your enemy and an adversary to your adversaries. Going back to what your mom said, when that dog tried to attack my dog, I threw in some kicks as well. And there's something about that kind of camaraderie in the body of Christ. You mess with my brother, you got to mess with me. You mess with my sister, you got to mess with me. You mess with one, you mess with all. And the day, hear me, the day that we as the church get that, and begin to operate out in that place, we're going to see less and less happening in individuals, believers' lives, because the enemy's going to recognize, you mess with her, we're going to have to deal with some folk. You mess with him, we in trouble. But when you're isolated to yourself, you ain't going to have the help you need. But when you're connected to the body, and that's the beauty of the body being connected together and being able to come together in times of worship, in times of fellowship, in times of communion, and being able to share from our hearts what's going on in our lives, and out of that place, come on, we're going to join together. We're going to bombard heaven. We're going to pray. We're going to cast down devils, demons. We're going to take care of it right now, because sister, brother, going to be free today. Aggressive kingdom advancement. It says, for my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will completely destroy them. He says, I will completely destroy them. But then he says to him, he says, and here's your part, you shall not worship their gods nor serve them, nor do according to their deeds. Meaning, don't assimilate. Don't assimilate into that culture. Don't assimilate into that. And that's one of the things that we've got to be aggressive about in this season. That we don't find ourselves, you don't find yourself assimilating into it or compromising, because you don't want to deal with the weight of the responsibility that comes with standing in the place of a believer. And the thing that we don't often recognize is that, and I'm reminding you right now, it ain't just you. It's the body and it's all of heaven backing you up. It's the body and all of heaven backing you up. And I love what God speaks to them. It says, but you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. God. There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Then he says this, I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets ahead of you so that they will drive out the Hittites, the Canaanites, and the Canaanites and the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and beasts of the field become too numerous for you. For I will drive them out little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. Now here's what I need you to understand. God was speaking that to a people who were just coming out of bondage. But say 40 years later. But 40 years later, Moses is now going off the scene, and Joshua shows up. Joshua is handed the mantle. And with Joshua came a new breed of people. For this was the generation who wasn't playing. This was the generation who wasn't negotiating. This is the generation that wasn't murmuring and complaining. I want to just throw this in just for free. The day that you can be consistent in your praise, be consistent in your worship, being consistent in your expectation of God's faithfulness towards you, the day that you can be consistent and settle that once and for all, you're on your way to accomplishing great things for God, and God's blessings being manifested in your life in unprecedented ways. Now, let me tell you why I say that. Because you see, it didn't matter how many times God moved when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they were still in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. They complained over and over and over. It didn't matter what miracles they saw. They're the same ones that walked through the Red Sea on dry land. And if that wasn't enough, But when Joshua showed up, everything changed. Because now it was a body of believers, God's people, who would take him at his word. And what we see with Joshua is a confidence that we need in the body of Christ today. It's in Joshua chapter 10. Where five kings come against Gibeon. Who is Gibeon? Gibeon is a body of people who heard about the people of God. And rather than be destroyed by the people of God, they schemed and said, we're going to act like we came from a far land, lest they destroy us. And so they got on the old clothes, they found some moldy bread, and they went before the leaders of the children of Israel and presented themselves and basically said, we're not from around here, but if you'll let us, we'd like to just be your servants. And the scripture says that they agreed to that without really consulting God. And so they made a covenant. Say covenant. God takes covenant serious. And we should take covenant serious. And so Gibeon, because they had a covenant with Joshua and the people of God, they sent word and said, we need y'all to come help us because these kings are about to take us out because we're now connected with you. And so it says this. It says, come up to me and help me. Let us attack Gibeon, for they have made peace with Joshua. And then word is sent to Joshua, and Joshua says, we got to go help them. It says, so Joshua went up to Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the valiant warriors. The Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand before you. So Joshua came upon them suddenly by marching all night from Gilgal. And the Lord confounded them before Israel, and he slew them with great slaughter at Gibeon, and pursued them by way of ascent of Beth Horon, and struck them as far as Azekah and Makeda. As they fled from before Israel, while they were at the descent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than those whom the sons of Israel killed with the sword. Remember this. No matter what you think your battle is, there's another one that's being fought on your behalf. In the heavenlies. There are victories being won on your behalf and mine. That's why we can never quit. See, if we could see in the spirit the advancement, Pastor Val, that's already there, we wouldn't doubt. We wouldn't keep questioning. Is it going to work? Are we going to make it? And all of heaven is saying, what are they talking about? We didn't shut down everything. All they got to do is keep walking. All they got to do is keep marching. All they got to do is put one foot in front of it. We've shut down everything. But this was the mindset of Joshua. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord on that day when the Lord delivered the Amorites before the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, O sun, stand still at Gibeon, O moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. The sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. What has God spoken to that's around you and say, stand still, stop, in order for you to win your victory? This passage shows us the power of strategic prayer. Didn't just pray, help us, God, help us, God, help us, God. There was something inside of that man that made him believe, this is the kind of relationship I have with Almighty God. This is how important this battle is. Sun, stop. Moon, stand still. Suspended everything to win the victory. So is it that God would require of us to be aggressive? My answer to you is yes, absolutely. And that time is right now. It goes on and says that the five kings fled. And word came to Joshua, and Joshua said, don't kill them. Just put rocks, stones over the cave till I get there. Sometimes in battle and in warfare, you don't want the quick win. You want the final win. You don't want the quick solution. You need the final solution. That's why years ago, when I was diagnosed with having this issue with my prostate, and I knew a quick solution. As a matter of fact, that's what I was encouraged with, the quick solution. I said, I need the final solution. And it took 15 years to hear the final solution. But when I heard it, I knew this is it. We don't need a quick win. We need a final win. You don't need a quick win. You need a final win. Come on, say, God, I know I want, I know I've been asking for a quick one. I just need the final one. I'm wrapping it up. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave, bring these kings out. They did so. They brought the five kings out. When they brought the kings out, Joshua called to the men of Israel and said to the chiefs of the men of war who had gone with him, come near. He said, I want you to come up here and I want you to put your neck, your foot on the necks of these kings. Why would he do that? And why wouldn't he just kill them first? Because he wanted them to step in that place of victory and authority while yet seeing the conclusion of the matter. I need to say this again. A sign of maturity, a sign of a level of faith and trust in God that's beyond just the normal kind of faith and trust in God, is when you can put your foot on the neck of a situation, take authority over it, even though it's not dead yet. And step into that place of victory. He brings and says, put your feet on the necks of these kings. So they came and they came near and put their feet on their necks. And then Joshua said, do not be dismayed. Do not fear. Be strong and courageous. For thus the Lord will do to all your enemies for whom you fight. And so here's the conclusion of this point. I'm like anyone else. I want some quick wins. But better than that, I need them to be the final wins. That when it's over, it's done. Joshua could have waited. And when and hold those kings till I get there. And when the kings got there, he could have brought out those kings and then all of his leaders. Come here, leaders. Come here, leaders. And Joshua could have killed all five of them right there by himself. Just demonstrated, you know, his authority. But that wasn't the lesson. That's not what God wanted to establish for those leaders. Joshua knew that if we're going to continue to win battles, if we're going to continue to win wars, if you're going to win your battle when you are off taking your land, you need to recognize the authority right here, right now. And the word of the Lord to you is, this is what God will do to all your enemies. Not just a quick win, the final win. Jesus going to the cross wasn't just a victory. It was the final victory.